Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is Sunday in the third week of Eastertide, and the homily today is called Holy Heartburn. We are reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let's begin. Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came and walked by their side, but something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening in these last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and the whole people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope was that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who had declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." He then said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory? Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout Scripture that were about himself. When they drew near the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. 'It is nearly evening,' they said, 'and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now, while he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'Yes, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. G.K. Chesterton, in his book What's Wrong with the World, observed the following: "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried." Now, I quote this today because I think it captures something of what's happening on the road to Emmaus. Here we have two men, both who have given up on Jesus their Lord because of the cross. See, before Holy Week, they had followed him. They placed all their hope in him as their Messiah who would save them, only to watch their own chief priests and leaders hand him over to be crucified. And it was in the face of the cross that they walked away. They walked away from the apostles and all of Jesus' other followers in Jerusalem. In other words, they were giving up on the church. And it wasn't because they were horrible people or terrible sinners. It was because they could not fathom the logic of the cross. They could not fathom the sacrifice, the suffering, the complete surrender and self-giving gift of Jesus. Now, all of us have been on that road at some stage in our lives. We've all encountered scandal, difficulty, discouragement that shakes our faith to the core and makes us want to simply walk away. In 2002, I was 9 years old when the Boston Globe broke the story uncovering the clerical abuse within the Catholic Church. So for most of my life now, I have been painfully aware of the shameful horrors perpetrated by that small percentage of evil men, and I've witnessed their past actions destroy, reshape, and undermine social confidence in the entire body of Christ as a result. In light of the incredible mess that they have made, you can probably imagine how many times in the seminary I had serious doubts about my own calling to the priesthood, knowing that despite whatever good intentions I was bringing to my vocation, I was walking into a tidal wave of cultural animosity and the knowledge that I will never escape the public suspicion brought on by those evil men. See, for some people out there, simply hearing about the scandals was enough to break their faith and make them walk away. Perhaps more understandably, those who had personally suffered in some way, whether from abuse or a major loss or a terrible tragedy, they may have left the church unable to reconcile their devastating experience with the promise of a good God. For others, it might just come down to a doctrinal disagreement, attachment to an immoral lifestyle, or even just letting the flame of faith suffocate from neglect. There are so many reasons in the world to be fearful and discouraged in faith, to become cynical, angry, and hopeless. But it is into that world, into that darkness, that Jesus proclaims the good news. It was precisely at these two disciples' darkest hour, when their fear and discouragement was dictating the very direction of their lives, walking away from Jesus, away from the disciples in Jerusalem, that Jesus, the risen Lord, came to them on the road, and he began to walk with them, to talk with them, and to transform their hearts so subtly that they didn't even know who he was or what was happening to them. It was just when they were about to submit to the depressing darkness of fear that Jesus brings the light. "You foolish men," he says, "so slow to believe the full message of the prophets." And so we ask, what is the full message of the prophets? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can break it down into those three easy to remember points. Number one, God loves you intimately and has an incredible plan for your life. Number two, sin is the only thing that gets in the way of that plan. And number three, Jesus suffered, died, and rose again to free us from the power of sin, to reveal to our broken hearts his life-changing love for us, and to bring us with him into the glory of eternal life. We read today that Jesus used passages from Scripture to explain all of this to the disciples on the road, but I would bet my bottom dollar that the basic contents were the same, that God loves you and has a plan for your life, that sin gets in the way of that plan, and Jesus suffered, died, and rose to save us from sin. Now, I acknowledge that we hear stories like the road to Emmaus in the Gospel, and we might even think to ourselves, if only Jesus would reveal himself in the same way to me, in my life, in my circumstances, to walk with me on the road of my life, to get my heart burning with a faith so real that I would have the confidence to change the course of my life right now. Well, see, that's just the thing. Jesus does walk with us right now, right this moment. And he does so in a way that sometimes feels just as imperceptible to us as he was to those disciples on the road. We're trudging through life, distracted by a million and one worries, fears, questions, all the while Jesus right now is walking with us, even as I speak. He's speaking with us. But the real question in all of this is, are we listening? See, after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven, Jesus laid the foundation of the church on earth and he entrusted its mission to the apostles. In Matthew 28, 18, we read, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And here comes the important bit. "Behold, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." Jesus promised to be with us, and Jesus continues to walk with us right now. But where is he? Let me tell you where. The very words of Jesus, his instruction for us, his presence and his power are all contained in the words of Holy Scripture. Vatican II, in the document De Verbum on Divine Revelation, declared boldly, and here I quote, "The force and power in the Word of God is so great that it stands as the support and the energy of the church, the strength of faith for her sons and daughters, the food of the soul, the pure and everlasting source of spiritual life." So if we ever wonder to ourselves why Jesus has not made himself known to us in a way that has our heart burning with faith and conviction, we have to ask ourselves the question, how much time have I given to reading his holy word, the food for our soul that is left for us, the everlasting source of our spiritual life? Jesus walks with us in Scripture, and he offers himself to us in sacrament, in the breaking of the bread. Jesus promised to be with us always until the close of the age, and here he is. In all the tabernacles around the world, his body, blood, soul, and divinity made present for all of us on the altar today, inviting us constantly into relationship and communion with himself. St. Maximilian Kolbe once said, "If angels could be jealous of men, they would be for one reason, Holy Communion." Another saint, St. John Chrysostom, in the 4th century wrote to his fellow Christians saying, "How many of you say, I would like to see the face of Jesus? I would like to see his garments and his sandals. Yet you do see him. You touch him. You even eat him. He gives himself to you not only that you may see him, but also to be your food and your nourishment." So today, brothers and sisters, when we approach to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, or to receive him in spiritual communion, call to mind your fears, your doubts, your disillusionment, and your discouragements, anything that might be holding you back from a transformative relationship with Jesus. And when you receive our Lord today, imagine the light of his love and his presence penetrating the darkest rooms of your heart. Let him reveal the love that he has for you today. So often we just go about living life with no idea that Jesus is walking right next to us. Let us pray today, more than anything else, that our eyes are opened and our hearts are set ablaze by his love. We ask this in the holy name of our Lord Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help me spread the word and this Average Shepherd podcast, put it up on social media or share with anyone you think might benefit. Thank you, and God bless.